China slammed the U.S. as irresponsible after Washington blocked a number of China-bound flights. But the outcry comes after Beijing halted a number of U.S. flights before the first of the year. China's WeChat kicks the Australian Prime Minister off its platform. Now his account and its 76,000 followers has been rebranded as an information site for Chinese Australians. Almost 40 Chinese aircraft entered Taiwan's air defense zone this weekend, the largest incursion in 4 months. COVID-19 has reportedly found its way into Beijing's Olympic bubble, despite strict isolation measures for everyone involved in the Winter Games. And some Chinese citizens are saying enough is enough. Some have started standing up against the communist regime's pandemic rules. Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Chenny Wu, in for Tiffany. Beijing's criticism is flaring up. On Monday, China's foreign ministry denounced Washington for blocking Chinese airlines' flights to the U.S., claiming the move was overbearing and irresponsible. However, this comment comes after a similar move from Beijing. Since the end of last year, China has barred 44 inbound flights from numerous American carriers, including Delta, United, and American Airlines. In response to China's actions, the U.S. government said on Friday it would suspend 44 China-bound flights. While the Chinese Foreign Ministry denounced Washington's decision, Chinese authorities called their own disrupted flights normal and, quote, absolutely fair. Ahead of a national election in Australia, the country's leader appears to be running into some unexpected troubles. He's been shut out of his social media account on the Chinese-owned service WeChat. That's according to Australia's Prime Minister Scott Morrison on Monday. He registered the account in 2019 and used it to communicate with Chinese Australians. Morrison's supporters say removing his access to his WeChat account deprives the Prime Minister of an important avenue to communicate with the Chinese community in Australia. More than 1.2 million people. WeChat is one of the most widely used social messaging apps in China. It's also popular elsewhere, especially among the Chinese diaspora. But since last July, WeChat has denied Morrison access to his account. The incident prompted a senior Australian lawmaker to accuse Beijing of political interference. How did it happen? A few months ago, a Chinese company named Fuzhou 985 Technology purchased a WeChat account because the account had a large fan base in Australia. Little did the company know, however, that that account belonged to Australia's Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. That's what an employee at the company told Reuters. The person did not reveal how much the company paid for the account, which was rebranded in January as Australian Chinese New Life. However, Morrison's earlier posts have not been removed from the account. Instead, the new owner told the account's 76,000 followers that all business and functions of Morrison's account have been transferred to Australian Chinese New Life. Morrison's agency had previously complained about the account to Tencent, the owner of WeChat, requesting its return. But sources told Reuters Tencent never responded. On Monday, Tencent told the outlet, "This appears to be a dispute over account ownership," adding it would be handled in accordance with the platform's rules. Taiwan reported the largest Chinese airplane incursion in its air defense zone since October. On Sunday, Taiwanese fighters scrambled to ward off almost 40 of China's aircraft. Gloria Zhao reports.
Taiwan has reported the largest incursion of Chinese Air Force jets in months as Beijing steps up its military activity around the island's air defense zone. Taiwan's defense ministry said Sunday its fighters warned away over three dozen Chinese aircraft in an area close to the Taiwan-controlled Pratas Islands. China, which claims Taiwan as its own, has repeatedly sent Air Force missions into the island's air defense zone for well over a year. Taiwan calls those incursions gray zone warfare, designed to both wear out and test the island's defense forces. It's unclear what prompted China's latest large-scale mission, but American and Japanese naval forces have recently carried out exercises in the Philippine Sea, a vast area covering waters to the east of Taiwan. The U.S. Pacific Fleet said Sunday two carrier strike groups were conducting training to, quote, preserve and protect a free and open Indo-Pacific. China's last incursion began over the National Day holiday on October 1st, when Taiwan reported nearly 150 Chinese aircraft flying through its air defense zone over a four-day period. Beijing offered no immediate comment on Sunday's mission, but it has defended its previous incursions as necessary drills for protecting the country's sovereignty.
Beijing has nearly cut off all of Lithuania's exports to China. Chinese customs data shows shipments from Lithuania to China dropped 91% in December compared to November. Despite this, Beijing denies an official trade ban on the Eastern European country. China-Lithuania relations deteriorated in recent months. It was after the European country allowed Taiwan to open a de facto embassy there, using Taiwan's own name. Taiwan has other de facto embassies in Europe, but they use the name of Taiwan's capital, Taipei, to avoid making reference to the island itself. In light of Beijing's economic pressure, Lithuania is asking the European Union for a $147 million loan for affected businesses. The EU says it will review the request as soon as possible. Meanwhile, Taiwan is also helping the European country. Earlier this month, Taiwan announced it would launch a $1 billion credit program that would fund joint projects for businesses between the two countries. That's in addition to a separate $200 million fund to invest in Lithuanian industries and boost bilateral trade. Facing Beijing's trade curb against Lithuania, Taiwan again reached out to offer a helping hand. A container of milk-based product will be turned into milk tea to make the friendship that much sweeter.
Taiwan again reaching out to Lithuania, this time with a container of evaporated milk. The Chinese Communist Party has been retaliating against Lithuania's support for Taiwan. But it seems Taiwan has Lithuania's back. Chinese customs recently blocked a container of Lithuanian milk, which drifted at sea for more than 2 months. A Taiwanese food company run by a Hong Konger then took over the container at the end of December. The product will now be made into milk tea and launched in the Taiwanese market. And the package will be designed with colors from the Lithuanian national flag. Yellow, green, and red. The buyer is Taiwan's Goodland Food and Tech.
It just so happens that we have the need, and then there is no place for this container to land. And what I heard was that it was ignored, and Chinese customs ignored the container.
He said the labels for the milk package were originally made for Chinese customers, and the Lithuanian company will remake them for the Taiwanese market. Mr. Dong is from Hong Kong and has lived in Taiwan for 3 decades. He says Hong Kong has changed for the worse under Chinese Communist Party rule. Last November, Taiwan established a Taiwanese representative office in Lithuania. Since then, the Chinese Communist regime began to give Lithuania a hard time, especially in trade. Lithuania is not alone in the fight against the Chinese Communist Party. Not only Taiwan, but also the U.S. and European Union showed their support for Lithuania.
When it comes to Taiwan's status, the U.S. follows what is known as the One China policy. But what exactly does this policy say? And what is the difference to Beijing's One China principle? The policy's origins begin as early as the 1940s.
As you said, we remain committed to our One China policy.
One China policy.
President Trump agreeing to honor the One China policy.
The One China policy has become an incantation. It's like the Lord's Prayer. You simply can't question it.
But what exactly is the One China policy? It goes back to over 70 years ago.
Mao Zedong is head of the Communist Party.
During the Chinese Civil War in the 1940s, the Communist Army led by Mao Zedong defeated the ruling Nationalist Party led by Chiang Kai-shek. Jiang and his government, known as the Republic of China, retreated to the island of Taiwan. In 1971, the United Nations General Assembly formally declared the communist government to be the only legitimate representatives of China and expelled the representatives of nationalist leader Chiang Kai-shek from their UN seats.
In view of the frenzy and the irrational madness that has been exhibited in this hall, the delegation of the Republic of China has now decided not to take part to any further proceedings of this General Assembly.
Nonetheless, Taiwan started moving towards democracy. After ending decades of martial law in the 1980s, the government in Taiwan saw its first peaceful transition of power to another political party in 2000. The island now enjoys the freedoms of speech, press, and religion. That's in contrast to the one-party dictatorship that controls communist China. To understand the U.S.'s One China policy, it's important to note that it's not the same thing as the so-called One China principle talked about by the Chinese communist regime. Under that principle, Beijing claims Taiwan as one of its provinces and vows to reunite it with the mainland by force if necessary. The U.S.'s One China policy is much longer and more complicated than Beijing's version. It's composed of several key documents and statements issued by different administrations throughout the decades, including the three U.S.-China joint communiques, the Taiwan Relations Act, and the Six Assurances. After President Richard Nixon visited China, the U.S. built formal diplomatic ties with Communist China in 1979. In the joint communique, the U.S. recognizes the government in Beijing as the sole legal government of China, and it acknowledges the Chinese position that there is but one China and Taiwan is part of China. But acknowledgement does not equal endorsement. By only acknowledging the Chinese position, the United States did not adopt as its own. In essence, the U.S. is not recognizing the PRC's claim over Taiwan, nor Taiwan as a sovereign state. U.S. policy has considered Taiwan's status as unsettled. But that's not all. Under the Six Assurances issued by President Ronald Reagan, the U.S. vows to help make sure Taiwan maintains a sufficient self-defense capability. That's why the U.S. has been selling weapons to the island and helping train Taiwanese soldiers. President Bill Clinton stated in 2000 that any solution to the China-Taiwan problem must have the assent of the people of Taiwan. Different countries have used different language to describe their takes on Beijing's claim over Taiwan. 58 countries say they recognize that Taiwan is part of China. They include Israel, Portugal, and South Africa. The UK and Australia use the same word acknowledge. Japan used the phrase understand and respect. Canada used take note of. While 56 other countries, including Germany and Ireland, did not mention Taiwan at all.
Positive cases begin to emerge in Beijing's Olympic closed loop, and authorities said air pollution could become an irritant during the Games. Meanwhile, the International Olympics Committee eased some of its controls to adapt the reality.
Beijing confirmed on Monday 6 new positive cases of COVID-19. They were tested the day before. 4 of them were new arrivals, including one athlete or team official. 2 others were already inside the closed loop. The Games will take place from February 4th to 20th inside a closed loop that separates all participants from the public, including athletes, volunteers, and trash collectors. They must take a test daily, until 2 days after the Games. However, some controls have been eased a little. The International Olympic Committee, or IOC, announced the changes on Monday. They include easing the threshold for being designated positive for COVID-19 and reducing the quarantine time for people deemed a close contact from 2 weeks to 1 week. Last week, organizers said that tickets for the Games would not be sold to the general public due to the pandemic. Meanwhile, Beijing's smog emerged as a potential threat on Monday. China's Ministry of Ecology and Environment warned that winter weather was very unfavorable for efforts to keep the air clean.
Chinese people are protesting against the communist regime's extreme pandemic control measures. Let's take a look.
This video shows a protest in Xi'an City. Residents have reportedly been forbidden to buy groceries independently. Instead, they've had to source their food from the property's management. But the cost of those groceries is high, almost 5 times more than usual. At the time, they had been required to comply for a month already. Then some residents last week said they would not comply, and police arrested them. Other homeowners then gathered to demand that the police to set the captives free. And in another city, Tianjin, due to the lockdown, many non-locals are stranded in the city. And they're reportedly having trouble sourcing food. A video from last Monday shows a man standing on top of a vehicle, accusing the local authorities of neglect. The man was then reportedly detained. And last Thursday, in the southeastern Chinese metropolis of Shenzhen, neighboring Hong Kong, a group of people stood up against the local authorities' extreme lockdown. They marched on the streets and clashed with the local police.
The Beijing Winter Olympics is drawing near. China's Health Commission reported 18 local cases of the virus on Sunday, half of which are in Beijing. Just one day earlier, the Games organizers reported 72 positive cases among the service staff, and one athlete or official tested positive on Sunday.
Due to China's lack of transparency and history of underreporting pandemic data, NTD can't independently verify that information.
Beijing authorities are mass testing around 2 million residents in a local district that they marked as high risk. They're urging residents there to stay in Beijing. And meanwhile, it's hard for people to get into the city. Vehicles heading to Beijing are tightly controlled by local authorities. Those vehicles can only enter if they're labeled as having special circumstances. The Olympics is set to start next Friday. The unique experience of a virus patient in China triggered heated discussion on Chinese social media sites. A migrant worker in Beijing tested positive for the coronavirus or CCP virus. The 44-year-old man named Yue became infected while searching for his missing son. The authorities published a map on Thursday marking his recent whereabouts, showing he had been to more than 20 sites for work over 18 days. For example, after working a night shift in one community, he went to work at a trash station the next morning without stopping to rest. His story provoked sympathy on social media, drawing attention to the hardships migrant workers face in China's big cities. The hashtag hardest working person among migrant workers amassed over 60 million views on China's Twitter-like Weibo. But soon, Weibo removed the hashtag. Yue was a fisherman from central China's Henan province. His 21-year-old son had worked as a cook in Beijing, but went missing late August. Yue told local media he's the main breadwinner for a six-person household, including his paralyzed father. The local police told the media they were investigating, but Yue said in an interview he asked police to locate his son using surveillance cameras and his mobile phone, but they refused. I think if the police could have helped to locate my son using his mobile phone during the first few days he went missing, we could have found him. My wife was crying for 2 days in front of the police station, but they didn't care. The director even said nasty things. After Yue's story went viral online, local police published a notice saying they had closed the case and issuing a DNA report that identified a rotten corpse as Yue's son. But Yue said he had never seen such a DNA report and that he would continue to search for his son. Federal authorities are reportedly investigating a California plane maker after shareholders said its technology was being transferred to China.
That's according to the Wall Street Journal, and the technology allegedly has military applications. The outlet says the FBI and the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S. have opened separate reviews into Chinese investment in the company Icon Aircraft. Authorities were first alerted after a group of minority shareholders, which includes the former CEO of Boeing, filed a lawsuit last summer. The lawsuit says the Chinese company that owns 47% of the plane maker was exploiting the company for the military application of its technology and not concerned about the company's financial health and survival. Minority shareholders also warned the U.S. government that this presents a national security risk. The journal says Chinese investor Pudong Science and Technology Investment transferred an Icon plane to China last year, and a month later it began plans to license Icon's intellectual property. A lawyer for Icon told the journal that its technology does not have military application and that the Chinese investor's actions don't pose a military threat.
The top chip machine maker still doesn't have permission to export its newest machines to China. That's according to its CEO.
The Dutch company ASML is the only one in the world that can manufacture the machines used to make the most advanced chips. Under pressure from the U.S., the Dutch government still hasn't granted a license to ASML to export the machines to China. There are concerns that the machines could be used in military applications. The company's CEO says he doesn't think China can replicate the technology because ASML relies on innovation and parts from non-Chinese suppliers. Experts think it could take a decade before another company could compete with ASML's chip-making technology.
The debt-trapped Chinese developer Evergrande seems to have found a way out, at least for now. Intervention by Chinese local authorities. This after a group of bondholders from outside China said last week they were ready to take all necessary actions to defend their rights if the company did not show more urgency to resolve a default.
Shares in Evergrande Group jumped on Monday, rising as much as 6%. The gain came amid rising hopes of government help for the country's troubled property firms. That lifted shares across the sector, with Shimao and Agile groups among other gainers. Evergrande's assets are now expected to be taken over by state-owned firms. The restructuring will be led by the government of Guangdong Province, where the company is based. An official from a state asset manager has been named to Evergrande's board, potentially signalling that the plan is moving ahead. Evergrande remains weighed down by $300 billion in liabilities. That includes $20 billion in international bonds now deemed to be in default after a run of missed payments. Beijing has already taken steps to restore stability in the sector, including making it easier for state-backed developers to buy assets from troubled firms. On Monday, Guangzhou-based Agile said it had sold assets to a state-backed firm for close to $300 million.
That's all for today's China in Focus. As you may already know, YouTube has demonetized our channel and stopped recommending us to potential viewers. If you like our channel, please share us with your family and friends to help more people learn about what's really happening in and around China. Thanks for watching. Have a great week.